help to my life, your life, our life as a congregation this morning. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. Nothing like the turning of the pages of Scripture. If you don't have a Bible, the text will be on the screen this morning. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Bible says, in the same day, the day of teaching that the Lord had in chapter 4 as He taught the people, explained to His disciples, and the same day when the even was come, or at the end of the day, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. He's saying, let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was, in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. You know, don't lose sight of the fact that it's not just the disciples and the Lord that's going to be in this storm. There's other little ships. And you know, don't forget, just because you hurt, that there's not other people hurting around you. It's not just me, it's them. I'm not the only one hurting. I'm not the only one going through this. And if we're not careful, when trials or trouble or whatever, we become self-absorbed. And we need to always not only look at our own things, but look every man also on the things of others. Notice the Bible said, verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And as He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? I want to draw your attention to the last phrase of verse number 37. Master, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Now, that's in the form of a question, if you notice that. I believe that what the disciples asked is probably a question that we've all asked at one time or another in our lives during a hard place, a rough patch, a difficulty, a hardship, a trial that comes into our lives. And maybe it's a series of problems that we have. And we'll say something like this, Lord, do you not care? Do you not understand what I'm going through and where I'm at and what I'm experiencing? Lord, do you care? And that's exactly what they're asking. They're saying, Lord, do you care? Do you care about us? Do you care we're in a storm? Do you care that we're about to die? I put at the top of my Bible, does Jesus care? And that's what we want to ask the question this morning. Let's pray. Father, I pray You'll help us this morning as we look into the pages of Your Word. I pray You'd speak to our hearts, that You would challenge our lives. Lord, that You would teach us Your truth. Lord, we have people that are not here this morning, as well as people who are, that are attached to this church in some form, some fashion, that, Lord, they're experiencing storms. Lord, that question may have crossed their mind even this week. Lord, do You not care? Lord, do You not realize what I'm going through? Lord, do You not see me? Do You not know what I'm doing and going through and experiencing? Lord, we may not voice it, but we feel it, we think it. God, answer our question this morning from Your Word. Challenge us from the Scriptures. Be with Tony and his family and these many other needs today. God, help Brother Vernon as he's there, our assistant pastor, to care for that family while we're here at this moment. Lord, help him to be to them what they need. And Father, we're going to thank You for what You do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does Jesus care? What a question. I want to give you several thoughts this morning that I believe will answer that question as we work our way through the passage. Notice, if you would again, verse number 35, the Bible said, and the same day when the even was come. Now the day's come to a close. I can imagine as the disciples are excitedly talking about the wonderful service, the great crowds, the powerful message, the changed lives. Spiritually speaking, I believe it was a true mountaintop experience. Now they were anticipating a time of leisure as they would get into the ship and they would cross over to the other side. There would be no multitudes. There would be no teaching, no work, no care. They would just be able to sort of let their hair down, so to speak. They'd be able to relax and have a time of leisure across that lake. But little did they know what lay on the horizon of their life. Little did they know that by night's end, their faith would be stretched to its limits. And I thought about that. I thought about as they're experiencing this, that the very same thing comes into our lives. And the first thing that come to my mind when I thought about the passage, does Jesus care? The disciples didn't know, but here's what I want you to get. He knows. That's number one. Does Jesus care? Absolutely. I want you to know He cares because He knows. He knows where I'm at, what I'm going through, what I'm experiencing at this moment in my life. I just want to talk to you, first of all, about the unpredictableness of storms. You know they're unpredictable. The weather on the Sea of Galilee was totally unpredictable. It was not uncommon for violent storms to suddenly blow up, seemingly absolutely out of nowhere. The Sea of Galilee, if you understand the topography, the geography of it, is surrounded by mountains with very deep ravines that sort of act like wind tunnels. They're funnels that cause the winds to rush down off of the mountains. And when the cold air coming off the mountains would meet the warmer air that would be coming off the Mediterranean Sea, they would meet over the Sea of Galilee, and suddenly, without warning, those calm waters would be whipped into violent storms. And that's exactly what's happened here. That's exactly where the disciples find themselves. They're caught out on the Sea of Galilee in a storm, and they didn't see it coming. Let me ask you a question. Do you always see the storms when they come? Isn't that true? They're typical of the storms that blow up in my life, in your life. They're unpredictable. Many times we find ourselves in the midst of turmoil or tragedy or hardship, and we never saw it coming. The good news is He knows. He knows. Like the weather, life is unpredictable. Everything can be sunny one moment, and suddenly and without warning, violent storms blow up. Seemingly out of nowhere, our lives are in a torrential issue and a torrential storm. It might be that's where you are this morning. Maybe it caught you totally off guard. Maybe it was unexpected. Maybe you didn't see it coming, but you're in a marital storm. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Maybe it's a family storm. Maybe you're going through a situation in your family that you had absolutely no idea was on the horizon. Maybe you're in a financial storm. Maybe it is that you are facing a financial issue, or maybe it's a spiritual issue or an emotional issue or a health issue. But the truth of the matter is that storms are unpredictable in our lives. They can seemingly come out of nowhere. We won't even see it coming. The second truth I wanted you to jot down about this is not only is it unpredictable, it's impartial. It's impartial. Did you know this? Trouble is no respect of persons. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how wealthy, how poor. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. It doesn't matter how educated, how uneducated, how prepared or how unprepared you are in life. The reality of it is storms are impartial. They're impartial. They happen to everybody. They happen to me. They happen to you. They happen to everybody. And you know what's interesting? Did you notice who is in this boat? Jesus is in this boat. The disciples are in this boat. And you think about this. There is children. They belong to Him. But yet here they are in a storm, fearing for their very lives. And I just want to remind you, just because we're saved doesn't make us immune to the hardships of life. This storm may have surprised the disciples, but it sure didn't surprise the Master. He's the omniscient, all-knowing Creator God of the universe. He knew what lay on the horizon. He could just have easily have prevented the storm as he did calming the storm. It would have been hard for Him just to stop it before it ever started, but He didn't. He allowed that storm to come anyway. And you know what? As long as we live in a broken world, can I tell you, we're going to have trouble and hardship and trials and storms are going to come our way. They're unpredictable and they're impossible. Matter of fact, you're going to find they blow up in the lives of the saved as well as the unsaved. And Christian, as long as you're living in this world, the storms are going to come. But this was no ordinary storm. Look, if you would, in verse number 37, the Bible said there arose a great storm. It wasn't just any kind of storm. It was a great storm. Matter of fact, Matthew called it a great tempest. We get our English word seismic from that word. It describes the convulsing of the earth during an earthquake. And you know what? We've had several earthquakes since I've even been here in King. Little tremors. And people say, "Boy, did you feel that?" I must be numb. I don't ever feel anything. What about you? I mean, I'm expecting, you know, this number, you know, and evidently it's just a little thing. You don't even know it. I must not be in tune real well to everything around me sometimes, you know, so far as my environment, because I never experience them. And by the way, it's okay if I don't. I'll be all right if I go all the way to heaven and never feel a tremor, okay, along those lines. But boy, we sure get tremors in our lives, don't we? And we find that here it describes the turbulent gale force winds that violently are whipping up the water's surface. Imagine in your mind, it's dark. The disciples, the storm clouds are there, and the winds are blowing, and the waves are rolling, and they're breaking over the sides of the ship. They're filling it up to the point that the Bible said the ship was now full. It was to the point that they were bailing, but it was to no avail. It seemed like that boat was going down. The seas were literally going to swallow them up. You ever felt like life was going to swallow you up? That it's so severe we feel like our ship's going to sink? Can I just tell you, He knows. Could you jot that down this morning? Could we remind ourselves, He knows. Nothing catches God by surprise. I don't know why God allows things into our lives all the time. I don't have the answer for all of that. But I know that He's wise, and He's too wise to ever make a mistake. He's too loving to ever be unkind in our lives. We know that. I jotted this down. Does Jesus care? Yes, because He knows. Number two, jot this down. Yes, because He hears. He knows and He hears. Aren't you glad for that? You know, a number of these disciples were fishermen. They were skilled sailors. They had been out on this boat before. They had been in storms before, but they had never been in a storm like this storm. They were doing everything they could to keep their little ship afloat. However, in spite of the heroic efforts and the situation seemed hopeless and a watery grave seemed to stare them in the face, and all the while Jesus is in the back part of the boat asleep. Look at verse 37. There arose a great storm of wind. It was unpredictable. They didn't see it. It was impartial. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. It's about to sink. Verse 38, and He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. But you think He doesn't know what's going on? You think He's sleeping through all of that and He's totally oblivious? No, He knows. And they awake Him and say unto Him, "Master, carest Thou not that we perish?" He hears. He's asleep. Fear had gripped their hearts, and they cried out in desperation, "Lord, do You not care? Lord, do You not realize we're about to die?" You know, before you and I criticize the disciples, we need to be honest with ourselves. How many times have we faced the storms, and in a moment of fear and panic, we question whether or not the Lord really cares about us? That somehow He loves somebody else other better than me because they're not going through what I'm going through. We reason within ourselves, "Lord, if You really cared, You wouldn't have allowed this to come into my life. Lord, if You really cared, You'd stop the storm. Lord, if You really cared, You would deliver me out of this storm." He knows. He hears. Don't think for a moment that Jesus was unaware. Don't think for a moment that He had turned a deaf ear or that the circumstances weren't under His control. They had forgotten who was in the ship with them. And Christian, when that panic comes into our lives and we begin to question whether or not He cares, it's because we forgot who is in the ship with us. And how easy it is to forget. They had seen Him cast out the demons. They had seen Him heal the brokenhearted. They had seen Him transform lives. They had seen Him as He had healed withered hands and restored blinded eyes and caused the deaf to hear. They had seen all of that. They saw it, but boy, this was somehow different. This was bigger than God. You ever felt that way? That somehow this one's different. This one's going to get me. This one's going to be the one to take me under. This is going to be the one... I'm here to tell you, friend, he knows, he hears. Say, preacher, how do you know that he hears? Look at verse number 39. And he, what, church? He heard. Can I tell you, he hears you today. The Bible said that his eyes upon the righteous, his ear is open to their cry. Do you know that God stands ready to hear? Our God never slumbers and he never sleeps. He's never distracted. He knows exactly where you are, what you're going through, what's going on in your life. And we say it many times tritely, but it's reality. God knows. We don't feel it. We don't always see it. But we need to believe it. And then that he hears. You ever prayed and felt like, I know I have, your prayer didn't get as high as that ceiling? Sometimes I don't think mine gets off the floor. You know, that I mean, it's just not making it. Somehow or another, the heavens are brass, and for some reason, God's not hearing me. I can promise you, dear child, he hears you. I mentioned several weeks ago that right behind my office is a one-year-old preschool class. And I can promise you, I hear through the wall. We was in there, and one of the babies was crying, you know, and I thought, wow, boy, what patience and blessedness that ladies have to be able to do these things, you know. And I heard one of our secretaries said, well, that one's mine. I thought there's a dozen kids. How do you know that one's yours? Because every mama's in tune to the cry of her baby. Isn't that true? And here's what God said. He said, your mother may forget you, but I'll never forget you. Your father may neglect you, but I'll never neglect you. Friend, there's the possibility that humans can let us down, but our God will never let us down, and he hears you. And you have to remember that. Number three, he knows. Number one. Number two, he hears. Number three, he cares. You think you can walk away with that this morning? You think I can walk away with that and that help me? You know, I was thinking about the passage and I said, Lord, I need something to help me. And the Lord said, okay, I see you. I know. Lord, I need something to help me. I hear you. And I want you to know I care. Let me tell you the difference between God's care and our care. Sometimes we say, boy, I tell you what, God bless you. I'll be praying for you. And we don't even pray. We forget. That's why you ought to make it the habit when you tell somebody you'll pray for them as you're moving away to go ahead and whisper a prayer to God in their behalf. Right then, right there, at that moment, just go ahead and pray. Say, preacher, I hadn't had a chance to bow my head and close my eyes. That's okay. God hears. He hears. But many times we give words, but there's no action. Sometimes we think that God's not acting when he is. The problem is you and I don't always see it, or he doesn't act when at the moment we think he should act. But we have to remind ourselves our God is never late. He's always on time. Always. Amen? And we see that many times after the storm rather than while we're in the storm, because we want out, and many times God says, I'm going to see you through. The disciples are going to be brought through. No, isn't that good? And he arose. I underline those three words in my Bible, and I love them. And he arose. You know, whenever God arises, you can be sure something great's about to happen. That's why the psalmist prayed in Psalm 44, verse 26, arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. In Psalm 68, verse 1, the psalmist said, let God arise. You know what that means? Let him work. Christian, let him work. Amen? Let him work. Let God do what he can do. It's beyond me. That's one of the things. And listen. I understand and that people are concerned about environment and weather extremities and all of this. And I'm not going to get into all of this, that, and the other, okay? But let me ask you a question. What you going to do to stop the hurricane? Be realistic. What are you going to do to change the weather? The weather is bigger than we are. We need to understand that. We need to grasp that, okay? It's beyond mankind. Now, I'm not trying to burst anybody's bubble. I'm not making fun of anybody that you're afraid the world's going to end in 12 years because we're going to burn up or something like that. The worst's going to burn up, but God's going to do it, okay? Not a man. I did get a little facetious, didn't I? But what I'm trying to say is this. What are you going to do? See, the weather was beyond their control. And the storms are beyond your control. You can't change it. You can't fix it. You ever notice that the people sometimes that struggle the most in life are fixers? Because they're always used to fixing everything. And God's going to let you come to some places in life that you can't fix. You will come. You're going to come there one way or another. And aren't you glad we have someone in our life that can fix it? That is bigger than the storms. Isn't that a blessing? Let me tell you how I know He cares. You say, preacher, what is it? Jot this one down. He delivered their fears. He delivered their fears. Look down at, now I'm going to show you what He does in verse 39 in a minute, but look down at verse 40. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Do you know that fear and faith are mutually exclusive? That faith banishes fear as light does darkness. It does. They cannot mutually coexist in our hearts. And so faith is the end of fear, and fear is the end of faith. And He says to him, you don't have any faith. You look at what you've seen me do. Look at what you've seen me accomplish. And listen, let us remind ourselves, has God ever failed us in the past? No. And He's not going to start today. And I have to remember that. I have to remember that. I do. Have you noticed all the fear nots in the Bible? Fear not. Fear thou not. Because God knows that we all struggle with fear at times in our lives, don't we? And I want to give you a verse. I want you to jot it down. You ought to memorize. Every Christian ought to know this verse, Isaiah 41:10. Every Christian ought to memorize it. You ought to know it. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Excuse me. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know what God says? I'm holding you up. You don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. I'm your God. Don't lose sight of the fact of who our God is. He delivered their fears, first of all, by His power. Now, notice what He does back in verse 39. And He arose and rebuked the wind. That word rebuked is a strong command. It scolded the wind. He rebuked it. It carries the idea of charging blame. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but really, it's not the fault of the wind. The wind's doing what the wind does. It blows. Could it be that behind the wind was the Lord's enemy, the devil himself, attempting to kill the Lord and His disciples? This time by drowning. It would not have been the first time that Satan had sought to prematurely kill the Son of God when you read His life. It's interesting, the devil calls the wind or tornado that killed all 10 of Job's children at once when they were in a house having a birthday party, and it crashed in on them and he lost every one of his children, all 10 of them at one time. The word in our text does seem to apply in our Lord's command that went beyond the wind to the one that caused the storm. And I'm not suggesting, and I don't want you to go away from here and say that every time that we have a trial, or every time a storm blows, or every time the wind's blowing our lives, that Satan is the cause of every one of it. Don't give him more credit than he needs. But what I am saying is there's an enemy of our souls that seeks to do everything in his power to oppose us and hinder us and stop us, and he doesn't play fair. And when you hurt, he'll attack. And he'll cause you to question whether or not God loves you. And he'll cause you to question whether or not he cares. And he'll cause you to question whether or not he's at work in your life. And he'll cause you to question God. Can I remind you that one who is far for us, one who's against us. I reminded that my wife, as she was going through this pancreatitis issue, and she was there with a feeding tube and all of that, going through all the midst of this, and I pulled my Bible out and we began to read the Bible, and she said, I said, honey, is there something you want me to read? She said, read Romans 8. And I read some verses that I liked, and she said, no, that's not the one I'm wanting. And you don't argue with a woman in pain. And I said, okay. So I read some others that spoke to me. And she said, no, that's not it. She said, read. And, you know, her mind's foggy. She said, there's something about being for me. There's something about being for me. And I came to Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And I watched her as she looked at me and tears welled up in her eyes. And she said, He's for me. And this can't be against me. I'm just here to tell you, friend, if God's for you, what can be against you? He goes on to say, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Death. He talks about all the things that can come into our lives, and He comes to death, and He said, nothing can separate us. I'm glad that death has been defeated in the life of a Christian. The Lord stands and He commands and the winds cease to blow. He says to the sea, the raging waters, peace, be still. Literally means be muzzled. Hush. I like that. Hush. And they begin to lay at His feet. And the winds ceased, the Bible says, and there was a great calm. Did you notice there was a great storm and then there was a great calm? I'm glad that in the midst of the storms, there can be a great calm that comes into our lives. At the command of our Lord, the storm gave way to the calm. He's the master of the sea. And the same God who would rebuke the winds and hush the seas, the same God who can calm me in the storms of life, He has power over the storm. He delivered their fears through His power, through His promises, through His presence. Through His presence. Look, if you would, in verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, He said unto them, Let us go into the Passover to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, verse 36, they took Him, even as He was, in the ship. Jesus was with them in that boat. He was with them in the storm. Thank God for the promise of His presence. Did you know that all the waters of the Sea of Galilee couldn't sink that ship? You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because the Lord was in that ship. It wouldn't sink. He said, Lo, I'm with you always, even into the world. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He can hush the stormy seas of our heart. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Friend, we're not going to have peace in the world, but we'll have peace in Him. And you know what? That's why the unsaved world don't understand it, because they're trying to have peace without Him. And you can't have peace without Him. You can only have peace with Him. In me, you might have peace. Peace is a person. It's resting in my God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, for I am thy God. There it is. I rest in my God. Peace in Him. I'm glad that life may be raging on the outside, but it can be calm on the inside. Not only does He care because He delivers our fears, jot this one down, He cares because He demonstrates His faithfulness. Corrie Ten Boom said, there's no panic in heaven, only plans. She said that while she was in a Nazi concentration camp. He said, let us pass over to the other side, verse 35. He said to His disciples, we're going to the other side. What God promises, He performs. What He proposes, He disposes. I love chapter 5, verse 1. Would you look at it? And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Now there's something waiting on them when they get there, that God's going to do something great. And I love that. But the truth is that He said, we're going to go to the other side. And guess what? They came to the other side. He didn't promise them smooth sailing, did He? He just said, you're going to have a safe landing. You know, the Lord's promised us we're going to the other side. It doesn't matter how dark the skies get, how hard the winds blow, how high the waves are. We're going to go to the other side. And when you go through the storms of life, don't ever forget the faithfulness of God. You're going to make it. You are going to make it. You're going to make it. There's a safe landing on the shore on the other side. I've thought about this many times. As Noah was in the ark, there may be of times he stumbled in the ark, but he never fell out of the ark. He delivers our fears. He demonstrates His faithfulness. And I want to give you the last thing. You say, preacher, what is it? He's developing our faith. As my wife and I talked about our own struggle here recently. One of the things that we, you know, it was funny. We went to the doctor on Friday, and she said, and all you wanted was your gallbladder out, huh? That's it. 24 hours. I've been amazed number of people that's come to me, and you went exactly through or faced something similar to what we've been through. And happened very similarly. You think you're going to go in, have a quick surgery, and boom, next thing you know, weeks and weeks and weeks passed. And you're going through hard times and difficulty. We ask ourselves, why? Lord, what are you doing? Lord, I don't understand. The finite cannot understand the infinite. We can't grasp it. It's beyond us. It's like the child when we say no and they say to the parent, but why? You ever went and waxed eloquently to a four-year-old? And they look at you, so innocent. But why? Well, I've just took the last 15 minutes trying to tell you why, and you don't get it. Do you know if God told us why, we'd be like that four-year-old, and here's what we would say. But why? Why, Lord? That's what we would do, because we can't comprehend it. We can't understand it. But I know this, that God's doing one of two things in our lives every time we hurt. Matter of fact, He's doing these things all the time. He's either correcting us or He's perfecting us. And all of it goes together to develop our faith. Now, when troubled times come, that's one time for me. I'm not saying that every time that hardship comes our way that it's because we've sinned or disobedient or there's something in our lives that shouldn't be there. But have you asked the question? Have you considered the possibility? That would be the first thing I would do. Is He correcting me like He did Jonah? But the disciples, that wasn't the case here. He was perfecting them. He was developing them. He was growing them. He was building their trust. He was. He was teaching them that the same God who was in control of the universe is the same God who was in control of their lives. That He was forever faithful. I may not always be able to track Him, but I can trust Him. That's what it is. That's what God's saying. And notice the outcome, verse number 41. And they feared exceedingly. Did you notice verse 44, they were fearful, but now they feared exceedingly. They exchanged one fear for another fear, but verse 41 was a healthy fear. Didn't mean they were afraid of God. They began to stand in awe of God. Wow. Look at God. Sorry. Look at God. Look at Him. See Him. Understand Him. Know Him. Do you know that there are things that I would never know about God if I never hurt? That's not why God makes us hurt, because God didn't make us hurt. We hurt because we live in a broken world. But God said, I'm coming into your broken world to bring help and hope and healing, because I know, I hear, and I care. Now trust Him. That's what He's saying. Trust me. And notice they said, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey? They stood in awe of God. And have you ever stood on the other side of the shore after going through a hardship and looked up and said, wow, God, You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're awesome. Let me just remind you, He's still amazing, wonderful, and awesome in the storm too. He hadn't changed. Amen? Let's trust Him today. Walk away with this fact. When the storms come that are unpredictable and partial, He knows. I don't know. It caught me off guard. I didn't see it coming, but God saw it coming. He hears. As I cry out to God, there's a God in heaven who hears me. And He cares. Be careful about what you say to people. You ever told somebody, well, God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. He only hears the sinner's prayer. Do you know that's not always true? That's not a Bible statement. That's a human statement. Because Cornelius was never, wasn't even saved. And you know what the angel said? He said, Cornelius, thy prayers have come up before God. God's been hearing you. And he sent Peter to share the gospel with him. Be careful about saying something you hear and not what God says. Because God lets handfuls drop on purpose, and he did in my life even before I was saved. That brought me to himself. You know what the Bible says? The goodness of God leads us to repentance. It does. The goodness of God. That God loves me, God hears me, and God cares. He cares. Do you believe that today? Do you believe God cares about you? Do you believe he knows what's going on in your life? Do you believe that he hears when you cry? Do you believe he's going to see you through? Let's exchange our fear for faith this morning. And maybe you need to slip forward and say, Lord, I've been allowing fear to dominate my life, and I'm reaching out to you in faith. God, I don't know, but you know today. That's enough. God, you hear me today. I'm crying out to you. God, would you arise and help for thy mercy's sake? Boy, wouldn't that be a great prayer? God, I know you care. Lord, I don't always feel that way, and sometimes the devil lies to me, and sometimes I lie to myself. Would you forgive me, God, for accusing you of not caring when I know you do care? And I'm going to trust you, God, and help me to stand in awe of you. Help me to look beyond my storm to the God who's in the midst of my storm. But wouldn't those be great prayers today? And trust him to see you through and help you through and be real in your life and know he's at work. And maybe you need to bring your burden, your storm, your issue to God in prayer this morning. And I'm going to invite you in a moment to come. I am. And God's working in your heart, and maybe you need to respond to him today. But let me just say something. Christian, you remember I told you that if he's in your life can't sink? The question is, friend, is he in your life? Do you know him? I didn't ask you if you knew about him. I'm asking you, do you know God? I'm asking you, do you have a relationship with him? I'm asking you that if the tragedy did strike in your life and you breathed your last, would you be with him in heaven? Are you unsure about that? Friend, one of the best ways to know God's in my storm is to know that he's in my life. Amen? Because I know him as my Savior. And if you're not sure of that today, there's going to be men at these aisles, and maybe you need to whisper in one of them's ear this morning. Maybe you need to slip forward. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Maybe you've been wrestling with this thing. Heads are going to be bowed. Eyes are going to be closed. Nobody's going to be looking around. And maybe you just need to slip right out of your seat here in a moment and let somebody, if you're a man, a man. If you're a lady, take a Bible and show you how you can know God. How Christ can be in your life because you have a relationship with him because you've trusted him as your Savior. If you don't have that assurance today, friend, can I tell you? Can I tell you? Your ship can sink. He wants to be in your life. Why don't you let him? Let's bow our heads in prayer.